Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Garrett Sutton is here. Garrett's a new friend. He's a nationally acclaimed corporate attorney and an asset protection expert, founder of Corporate Direct and the Sutton Law Center. He's the author of a new book called Start Your Own Corporation, Why the Rich Own Their Own Companies and Everyone Else Works for Them. He's our new friend, Garrett Sutton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be with you today.
Good to have you here. So I have always told my, in 20 years, next week is my 20th anniversary of doing the show, and ever since I started, I've been saying, always just remember this, incorporate early and often, whenever you can. And but the truth is, what I've said is, when I have had people say, when should I incorporate? And what I tell them is, when you start entering into contracts, when you have an employee, when you have employees doing something for you, those are my two triggers. Whenever you have employees and or when you start entering into contracts that involve like a lease or a contract with a customer, you need to be protecting your assets, your personal assets, with a corporate veil. What do you think?
I agree with you, Jim. When you get started like that, you have liability. And if you operate as a sole proprietorship, meaning you don't form a corporation or an LLC, you're personally responsible for everything that happens within that business. If you enter into a contract and get sued, they're going to be able to reach not only the business assets, but all of your personal assets, the equity in your home, your bank account, everything else.
Right.
With employees, there's great liability. So you want to have that corporate or LLC veil of protection up right from the start.
Well, one of the things the way I explain it to folks is that if you're the only employee, then you're the only one who's doing the damage, potentially doing the damage. And so if you're the one, then you, it's going to be hard to protect your own personal, your personal estate, because you're in charge of the company and you're also the person doing the damage. And like if you hurt somebody, you ran over somebody or whatever might have happened. But a corporate veil doesn't really help you much there, does it?
Well, no, if you get in a car wreck or some sort of personal activity, you can be held personally liable. But when you bring that second employee on, you're right, Jim, that's a time to really consider having that corporation to protect yourself.
If they're driving your truck and they make a mistake and they're liable, then the company can be sued and they can be sued, but you as the shareholder of that corporation that you formed can't be sued, likely.
That's right. That's where the protection comes in. So the claim would be against the company which employed the employee, and the company could lose what's inside the company. But on the outside, the equity in your house, your personal bank account, if you follow the corporate formalities, you pay the state every year, you do your annual minutes, if you follow those formalities, the corporate veil will stay strong,
right,
and you'll be protected.
Well, the reason why I said not do it day one is because I'm assuming that they've got a couple of $1,000s startup money if they're trying to get something out of the ground like I did once upon a time, and or maybe even less. Well, that if you don't have any contracts and no employees, you can use that money to buy business cards, to pay deposits on utilities or an office or something like that. You can use that money for that, and then in a few months you can incorporate. Now talk to us about what we should go about incorporating as. If there are limited liability companies, which have become very popular in the last 20, 25 years, there's the sub S corp, which is a version of the C corp. Tell us about all that.
Yeah, Jim, I like the LLC. The LLC offers a great deal of flexibility.
Limited liability company.
Correct. It provides asset protection via the charging order. If you set up in a strong state like Nevada or Wyoming, you have really good protection. The LLC also allows flexibility.
But don't you have to set up it as an LLC in your state?
Well, you have a choice, Jim. You could set up in Wyoming, for example, and then qualify to do business in your state, or you could just set up in your state to begin with. So that's a factor that we need to consider.
Because every state's every state's LLC laws are different, a little different, aren't they?
They are. They are. The laws vary from state to state. California and New York are weak. Nevada and Wyoming are strong. And so we
now, when you say weak and strong, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, the key feature of the LLC asset protection is called a charging order. It's a lien on distributions. And if you form in a good state with a strong charging order protection, you're much better protected. California, for example, says we're not going to even apply the charging order. We're going to allow
Well, they're always going to be in favor of the, of the plaintiff, not the defendant, of the consumer, not the business owner.
Right. Right. And so we just want to pick the right state. And then the LLC offers a great deal of flexibility in taxation. You could be taxed as an S-corp, which is a flow-through. You could be taxed as a C-corp or a partnership. So the LLC provides good protection and flexible taxation.
But an LLC is a limited liability company, but it's not a corporation. But you can be taxed as you can be formed as and taxed as a corporation, or you can be formed and taxed as a partnership. Why would I choose one or the other?
Well, I like the S corporation for small businesses. You can use that to pay yourself a salary, and then you've got to pay payroll taxes on that.
But I agree.
You can minimize the payroll taxes with the S corp. The partnership has its advantages if you're not going to be paying a salary. Say you're holding investment real estate. You want to pay yourself. You want to have be taxed as a partnership if you have another investor in that LLC.
Right.
So there are a lot of different ways to go, and that's why in the book we talk about the various options.
I want to make sure we're not confusing people, though. An LLC is not a an S corp.
Correct.
An LLC, folks, is its own entity. It's its own animal. It's not a a duck or a deer. It's a it's a cow. It's a different kind of entity, right? Even even though you can form it as a corporation, an LLC taxes a corporation, or an LLC taxes a partnership.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then a C an S corp, you have to become a C corp and then elect to become an S corp, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, all right, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back. He's got some news for us, folks. I've got a couple more questions about which one to choose, why you should choose one or the other. And then he's got some news on the IRS, how they're dealing with some LLCs. And that's coming up after the break. Garrett Sutton is our guest. The book is called Start Your Own Corporation.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.